We met a few of the PG&E staff at the American Gas Association event last year in the fall. And right after meeting Brandon Cole and Jeff Janvier, I remember commenting to Jim about their passion for training and people. And anybody who knows them knows what I'm talking about. They talked to us about the HEAT program and how their people were being mugged and stabbed and beat up and held up at gunpoint, all while attempting to keep the gas flowing. And PG&E was stepping up to do something about it. So fast forward to early 2024, and we're on a Teams meeting talking about their recording right there at PG&E in Oakland. And we manifested this one, all of us. We were so synergized as a group when we got together to pull this off. PG&E is doing big things out on the West Coast, and we're very proud to get to sit down with them. It all started at AGA. It's only fitting that we kick this special episode off at AGA in Seattle.
What a good looking guy, man.
We are live at the American Gas Association here in Seattle, Washington. Operation conference and committee meetings just wrapped up the last couple of days. And we have been setting this up for what I feel like has been a year, but it's probably just been 3 to 6 months. But we heard about the program you guys put together, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But we've been working on it. Me and you have been talking a lot of late night LinkedIn messages. I think each one of us would see what the other was doing. It's like, man, we got to get together.
That looks really cool. Whatever this guy's up to.
Absolutely. Y'all are always doing cool stuff. So setting this up was kind of it was on my list this year, if you will.
Yes.
So being able to, and I know we've got a cool couple of days we're going to come down and visit, which will be part of this interview, and talk with some of the folks at PG&E. Before we get going, though, do me a favor. I want both of you to introduce yourself, who you're with, what you guys do.
Yeah, well, James, thanks. And again, you laid the foundation. You know, this has been something we're real proud of. And having you involved now, we're excited. So to be here with you, it's an honor.
I appreciate it. Wow.
And wherever that,
don't say that too early.
Wherever that gym guy's going to pop out.
I'm happy y'all are here because it kicked Jim out.
Yeah, we got a little distance between you two. But anyways, I'm Brandon Cole with Pacific Gas and Electric. I'm a safety programs manager in our gas distribution. Absolutely love the job. Absolutely love the industry. And to the left of me is...
How long have you been involved?
So I've been involved in safety, which I guess all my life, because I'm still alive, but officially in this capacity, I guess, for maybe 4 or 5 years. Yeah. I was a serviceman responding to gas leak emergencies, that sort of stuff. So I'm out of the field now, full-time in safety. So I'm passionate about it.
You're the safety guy now.
Yep, love it.
Brandon's one of those guys who came out of the field and we just saw something in him, right? It was just like, wow, this guy is special.
I think I saw something in him today, too. Yeah.
Right?
I'd never got to see you speak before, and so being able to see you guys talk, and we'll talk about that, too. He's a special guy, for sure.
Definitely.
You both are.
Definitely. Yeah. No, hey, James, like he said, appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here. I'm Jeff Janvier. I lead our gas operations team in the San Francisco Bay Area, also with Pacific Gas and Electric. I've been with Pacific Gas and Electric my entire professional career, ever since I was in college. So this is kind of what I know, right?
Yeah, for sure. So we're here. You guys presented earlier today on the HEAT program, right? And I'll let y'all get into the details of it. But I was in the session, several of us was from our team, and being able to kind of see the aha moments in people's faces. I love how y'all tied it all together. It was great for me, too, because I probably haven't seen that much info about it all in one spot, right? I mean, we've talked on the phone. I've heard about it. Being able to see the pictures, the videos. Shout out to Johnny and them for doing that stuff at Grassroots. The stats, right? All of that's important. Do y'all want to give a high level of kind of the why behind this program and what it is?
Yeah. I mean, we saw the stats, right? It's no secret that not only in the San Francisco Bay Area, but just at various parts of the country, right? We're seeing workplace violence incidents happen more and more regularly, which is really sad, but it's true. there used to be kind of an unspoken rule with utility workers, right? Like 5-10 years ago, utility workers didn't really get messed with. Maybe there was an occasional, absolutely, right? And there was just an unwritten understanding that, hey, we're here to do a job, provide gas and electric service reliably, safely. We're not here. We don't care what's going on. We're just here to help out and take care of the customers. But that's kind of flipped and changed here in the last couple of years. And now we are having a lot of incidents that are directly impacting our field coworkers, right? And we had a number of incidents that really hit close to home for us, where, you know, we had a coworker who was attacked completely randomly and stabbed in the neck. Thankfully, he's still alive, but, you know, he almost died from that incident, right? And then we had another coworker just a couple weeks later. You know, she was assaulted, attacked, tackled. She fought back. Again, she survived, but it could have been very different, right? So it was situations like that that made Brandon and myself and really the entire organization realize we're not doing enough to keep our team safe, make sure they go home at night to their families.
And so, you know, to Jeff's point, yeah, things are happening more and more often. You know, I mean, it's you know, no secret. There's, you know, locations that we serve that, you know, have higher crime rates than others. But it just seems like things have just really taken off, and we became a focus of that attention. And with that comes a lot of different personalities, a lot of different situations that our folks are faced with. And to not prepare them for the when, right? Because it's not about the if, it's for the when, that some hostility is going to be launched out towards them. And how do you respond to it appropriately, right? Whether it's a you know, just a, you know, an angry individual or somebody that's actually meaning harm. So we wanted to prepare them, and that's what we were talking about today and sharing it with the utility industry, because we see direct result that we're preparing our people. They have better tools to go to now, because in the moment of stress, when, you know, things are in that hot second, you freeze if you don't know what to do. So it's like muscle memory. That's what we're doing, is we're giving some muscle memory. And so that program, that's what it's about, educating and then giving them the ability to do their task, their work job task, and then have a hostile interaction inside a controlled environment to really prepare them.
Right? Have that freedom to fail within that safe space.
Fail safe,
and you
right?
kept saying that over and over when you were talking about it. You went through the, what did you call it, where you stop and the red light, green light, you know.
Yeah, like that's basically what we call that. Yeah, that's the heat check right there, right?
To make sure that people can move forward. And I like, that was one of the things I took away, was that constant check-in was that time to just take a minute, right? Because sometimes we go right into correction mode, or, hey, here's what you could have done better. And truthfully, what was the last line you said? This was intended to get a reaction.
Yes,
right?
Intended to stress you out. Right? Yeah. That is the thing.
The guttural reaction.
It's not intended to break our people. And so we do it so in such a caring environment with the team that I have, the amazing team that I work with, everybody out there just taking care of each other. And really, so it's an environment that, yes, you can go practice, you can have an experience, and then fail safe, and then be supported because the team that's around them are so, you know, empowered.
Absolutely. And y'all been rolling this out, what, over the series of how long?
For about 2 years.
Really?
Right. So 2022 was when this hostility really came.
Just ramped up.
Exactly. And so that's when we came together, October 2022, and we started coming up with these big ideas for what can we do differently? How can we think outside of the box to really get out ahead of this? We knew that we're not going to contain crime and get to the root of what causes crime in our society. But what we can do is put barriers in place. And like Brandon said, give our coworkers, right, the tools and the ability to have a better likelihood of navigating those situations without, you know, being injured or worse, right? So,
Sure. Yeah, so
it's been about 2 years in the making, October 2022, and then the early part of 23, we were really developing things like the heat training, as well as some of the other things we talked about, like armed security and law enforcement support for our crews working in certain areas with high crime rates, etc.
Y'all were moving the needles in multiple directions. I mean,
that's
moving
right.
it with multiple...
That's right.
This really wasn't a one-size-fits-all solution for what we're dealing with, right? So you heard about our virtual reality program,
sure.
right?
For those that don't know, also launched. Is it like a follow up or an in tandem?
Well, it's a training developed to navigate a hostile situation, right, as well. But so it's a different take on the what we do.
So you get the hands on, kind of the tabletop. Yeah. You get roughed up a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. And then you can get the VR headset on and actually go a step further where it feels hands-on. There's actually, you know,
I see. So we came at it with, just so many different ideas, and no idea was left out of there. We're here, like, we're just like, what can we do more, right? Because our folks are having a rough time taking care of our customers, right? And that's what matters to us, is our customer and coworker safety. So, we even tried Krav Maga. We brought him, man.
Like, well done.
And so, we were teaching self-defense. That was going to take too long to get them stood up, right? So, we've offered them, an option to go out and, work with another company or a vendor outside of our organization, but it wasn't appropriate. I couldn't, get enough people through.
Well, it kind of reminds me of what you said. Maybe it was you, Jeff, that you said some of the initial feedback was like, it was great, but I was in our parking lot.
Yeah,
at corporate. Yeah. I'm just making it up, but to relate the same way, you put them in a real situation, you put them in the real place where it happened. It becomes a lot more real, and again, it's intended to get a reaction, right?
No doubt.
No doubt.
So when I say we have hostility, these are our coworkers, right? They're managers, superintendents, grassroots, union employees, all coming together on this one day to give this experience, right, and really provide it. So we're just helping each other. We're coming at it as a community, trying to really navigate the challenges that our communities are faced with.
No doubt. I know it takes a lot to get programs like this across the board. We're a training company. Totally get it. I wanted to ask it in the session, but I know these things come with a price tag, time, money, effort, right? And to get things like that across the board, you got to have an awesome leadership team to be able to do it, right? I mean, they got to be bought in. They got to be able to support it. And they got to be the ones there, endorsing it. How important has the leadership group over there been?
Before you take that, I just want to say one thing.
Yes, sir.
Because this is a question for him. But if you don't have the leadership support, I couldn't imagine any leader in the great, stuff that we do not saying that we'll put everything we can into making sure our folks are protected.
Absolutely.
And that's what our team did. They just said, what it is, take it, make it happen. If it's relevant to the field and it's helping them, let's get it done.
Right.
So back to you on probably the finish up.
Yeah. Too often, right, we wait for something really bad to happen, worst case scenario, before we take action. We're all kind of guilty of that at some point in time to justify the cost or the effort or whatever to focus on something
analysis,
to do
paralysis.
It. That's right. So, like we talked about earlier, we had several incidents where, thankfully nobody lost their lives, but, this was a reaction to very serious incidents that were actually happening, affecting people who we know and we value and they're part of our family. And so, looking at it through that lens, we knew we had to react, but we also realized that our employees, right, our family at work and our family at home, it's our number one asset, period, right? So if our number one asset is threatened, we need to do something about that. And you're right, it does come with a cost. And certainly it comes with a personnel commitment, time, all the things that we've got, Brandon and other people who have dedicated themselves to doing this. But at the end of the day, right, like, there is no price we can put on losing the life of one of our colleagues, right? And it's just, we don't even talk numbers about this because you can't put a life on a colleague or a value on that.
Right? I guess I wasn't looking for a price tag as much as knowing there's a big price tag on it. It's a big commitment. Y'all put a lot of time, money, and effort into it. But the leadership buy-in on that, right? Knowing that there's a big number on it, and your team's still there going, this is what we do. This is why we do it.
I guarantee that every company has somebody they can count on, right? And if you got somebody you can count on, this thing can be duplicated. And I'm telling you, it didn't take a rocket science to develop this because I'm not one.
It's the first time hearing of this.
Yes, I know. As surprising as that may be with the sun shining here in my eyes.
We're in Seattle. I thought I did.
So anyways, having somebody in the organization that, can take this, we were happy to share and we're not asking for folks to come in and get like Hollywood actors this and the other, right? This is easy to train up. So it's cost effective.
It is. I mean, the reality is that we've got plenty of other low value things that we can offset costs to pay for something that's really important like this, right? So there's plenty of other low hanging fruit that we can address. So that's kind of what we focus on is how do we do that?
So I know we're going to talk to some folks this week, and I'm anxious to hear from them, but you guys being close to it and being, you know, the catalyst behind it, what's been some of the feedback from the crews and the people that are out there getting the training and then going back and applying?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It gives them an experience. We hear it. We ask for anonymous feedback. Every time somebody comes through our training, we ask them before they leave to fill out a survey. So we're taking their feedback, which is guiding how this thing is developing further. So this is their voice. Right. That's everything awesome. We're doing is there. This isn't Brandon's, you know, great concoction, right? Yeah. But this is a combination of an amazing team that I work with, plus the men and women taking care of our customers, building this thing out. So to have like WBTs, where before that was a little bit of the industry standard, right?
It's a web-based training, by the way.
Yep. To hands-on experience, they feel like, wow, they're putting into this. So, you know, it's a big one. They're receiving it well. You know, I know folks have, you know, I've got plenty of, you know, text messages. Hey, thank you. You know, I had somebody yelling at me about their bill earlier.
And I got
And I was able to kind of decipher that. You know, we get a lot of things come back to the team.
That's good.
But it's huge.
Yeah, probably it just being quiet and not hearing the numbers continue to rise and thing. That's really that payoff, whether someone sees it or not.
Right. Well, the absence of events doesn't mean there's an absence of safety. And see, that's the thing.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just, they feel empowered. They feel part of the team. They feel like, you know, the company really cares. And that's what matters to us, right, that they know they're cared for.
And, you know, to Brandon's point, there's been numerous situations where coworkers of ours have said, hey, I went through this training and then I had an encounter after the fact that I handled differently based on the training that I received in a more positive nature, which, I mean, that is reward in and of itself, right? This, what's hard about this whole thing, right, not being able to get to the root of criminal activity and violence and things in society, right? You know, we're never going to be able to celebrate success or full success on this, right? But what we are celebrating is the fact that we're seeing a reduction in incidents. Our people are better prepared. They feel more comfortable, right? They're still got to keep their guard up in the situation they wear, but they're feeling a lot more comfortable working in the environment that they do. And the way they feel when they work, if they feel comfortable, they're going to work more safely. And that's really important.
What was the phrase you said? Defend the cone?
Yeah, so you know, our folks, they're proud of what they do. They're there to get the work done. They, you know, the men and women out taking care of our customers, they are prideful. And to have somebody, you know, give them a direct threat and then them have to leave the tool, the job, whatever it is. But, you know, that's what we're really inspiring is that thought process that nothing's more important than them. Nothing.
Yeah. Right. Defending the cone.
Defend the cone syndrome. Yeah. Just get out of there, right? Out of there, get away. If
it's so simple.
Yeah, and so another big part of it is, you know, is a little bit of customer service, right? And so, you know, people have their opinions about us, good, bad, or indifferent. And, you know, a lot of times that comes out on our, you know, our coworker that happens to be in that moment. And, you know, a lot of people just want to be heard. So we're teaching good just people skills as
listening,
well.
Active listening, mirroring,
having a conversation.
Yeah, it's simple stuff.
Some of that lost art, right?
It's important. Yeah. Well, yeah. I know y'all put a lot of effort into it. I think it being showcased here at AGA says a lot. This is a community of our peers here, and them saying, hey, we need to hear this message is big. We're excited to talk to some of the team. I know y'all probably are, too. We've been at this for a while. I appreciate you guys. Really, man. You know I'll be messaging you.
James, thanks so much.
You're awesome. We'll bring some people on here pretty quick.
Well, I thank you for your good work that you're doing as well, because you're sharing the best practices throughout the community. Did we get a photo bomb right here?
Yes. Kevin Parker. No.
But honestly, thank you for spreading the best practices message, keeping a focus on safety, because we got to share together to get better. And this is a great community here at the AGA, and I can't thank you enough.
Let's do it.
Well, like, yeah.
And man, it's nice sitting next to a Chiefs fan. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. No.
Let's not go there. He went there. He went there.
You know I had to get.
That was a cheap shot.
Hey, we'll be back.
After getting to see Jeff and Brandon speak about the program, I think we all got a little more excited to get to talk with the PG&E group. We hopped a plane down the left coast and ended up in San Francisco. Friday was an early morning, and we were at the Oakport Service Center in Oakland at 6 a.m. sharp.
Just seeing how everything's been transitioning, we're a lot more, because after COVID, everything started changing, and I think that's where all this stuff started stemming from, and it started ramping up pretty bad. So I know it's pretty hard for a lot of the guys that are out in the field. So
it's like a culture shock, not used to seeing stuff like that. But then over time, it's crazy because you get used to it. It's like a trauma thing, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So the normal stuff doesn't affect you anymore. Like pulling up to a stoplight, looking to your left, seeing pistols in people's laps. That's a normal thing out here.
Wow.
It's normal. People carrying guns in stores. It's normal.
That's the mentality. We go out there every day. So it's just you wear it on your sleeve every day when you go out the door. Once you leave the gate, I mean, you gotta just use your best judgment. If you need to de-escalate a situation, if you're in an instance with somebody, you kind of just, I will sit back and listen first, not respond, and then kind of just figure out a way to get yourself out of that situation.
You kind of see things going on here. You see a sideshow here and there. They'll stop the streets off on you. You'll see people. I have got robbed. They took my whacker off the truck. By the time I got to the front of the truck.
Whackers and saws.
Yeah. Right. By the time I got to the truck, though, the guy was in the trunk with the whacker in his lap driving down the street. So I was like, I'm like, golly, man, it got me.
I've been actually on two incidents where we got robbed at gunpoint.
Yourself?
Yes, us ourselves.
He called out 1:30 in the morning, and a guy comes out, and he's in behind the security gate, and he called in for a gas leak, but he's also talking about his girlfriends and his mom who has dementia. He's talking about, he's got pit bulls jumping around at the door. It's 1:30 in the morning. You know, since the fire department had just left, so they had shut off his heater. So he was just like, he wasn't right. But I didn't see him for a while, so I was stepping away from the door. I was getting away from the door because I hear the dogs and all this stuff. So then he's just kind of challenging me on the questions, that general questions that we ask when we're at a gas leak. Hey, how long you smell?
Just
like,
smell
what's
it
going on? Da 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 da. Like, but he does not want me in the house. So when I start asking him a couple of questions, he's like, "Man, I need you to just call my mom because she has dementia and da 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 da." And I'm like, "Doc," I said, "Sir, I can't do that. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm not calling nobody." He's like, "Oh, why are you scared?" And da da da. He's just going at it. I still haven't seen him. He's still in the house.
Oh, through the
security door, right? So he's just talking. So I'm like, let me get away from this door, So I go down the stairs, and then he comes out. He was on a bulletproof vest, bro. But this dude, like, my body literally was telling me, get the hell away from this guy. You know what I mean? So he's trying to get within what I would consider
into your space.
He's trying to get into that space. And every time he did, I'm just giving him more space. And I just like, this is the first time in some of the training just came up, and it was, I'm going to go to this truck, I'm going to get you something, and I'm going to come back. And okay. He was just like, he just kept on talking. I said, I'm going to go to my truck, and I'm going to get this paperwork for you, and I'll be right back. Get in the car, run, I'm gone, right? And this all happened within 5 minutes, you know what I mean? And I will tell you, if that was 5 minutes, I was there 4 minutes too long.
I'll get a call. There was a leak call inside, right? So I'll go do my routine, pull up to the house, make contact with the customer, right? Go in and see what the problem is. My initial, not getting a whole lot with the sensor inside the house. So that's one thing you want to, basically check first things, right? Go to the meter. What you do is like a spot check to make sure the meter's, pretty much just the pile of flow and all that. And in doing that, kneeling facing the house because the meter's there on the right hand side of the house, right? There's gunfire erupted right across the street from where I was at. So initially it's a bit paralyzing because you're trying to figure out what's going on, and then what's my move? Like, you think about your family, like getting out of here, you know, basically unharmed, right? And I just remember the customer, it was a woman. She was like, get in the house. They're shooting out here again. So I'm like, well, I heard again. I'm like, oh, sure. It must be common. Like, so I ran in the house, left my bag and everything outside, got on the ground in the house. And we were basically all of us, there's three of us laying on the ground in the lady's house, closed the door and just sat and waited till the gunfire stopped.
Now, as you can tell, there's a lot of pride in Oakland, a lot of pride for their city, but also pride for serving natural gas to the people of Oakland, and a lot of pride in PG&E. And so watching this trend of dangerous activity had a lot of people shook, and they had to move, and they had to start figuring it all out. And so PG&E got to work.
Yeah, actually, it actually originated. We had a couple damage prevention locators. They were up doing a job, and honestly, they got kind of bamboozled, let's put it that way. Sure. And, everyone turned out to be safe and okay, but, you know, we had enough at that time, right? We were like, man, we're just trying to provide a service, right? Mm-hmm. And, it escalated from there, but thankfully our leadership and our union came together for a joint cause and really put together a lot of different awesome things. And HEAT program has come out of it, which is fantastic, right? So Brandon Cole and the team really orchestrate something amazing, right? That live exercise, it's not a WBT, it's not a web-based training, right? It's nothing, all that stuff, right? It's hands-on by people that are hands-on, right? So that it resonates a lot better, right? It's a long-lasting effect of just how to act, how to react. No one knows how they're going to act until they get into a situation, right?
I could take you right to a point where one of my scenarios where I was the acting robber. So out here in our Baltimore, and everyone else experienced, they do a lot of smash and grabs. So the fact that I was the smash and grabber and putting our coworker in a situation where we did it to him and rob him made me feel that's as close as to prepared as we can get this guy.
They ran me through it, took my phone, took my wallet, all that stuff. I saw it coming, even though I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was set up to make me uncomfortable, but still stay calm in the moment. And your adrenaline's gonna go no matter what.
It's real life, it's like real action. So, I think what I'm seeing, I've been with safety for 17 years, and even just our normal training, we're turning that into a live action type of scenario. Just with our driving rodeos with grassroots team, like we're thinking along those lines now. We're getting a lot of good value out of it.
The tools that you get during the training definitely open your eyes, open your mind to what needs to be done. When it hits the fan, it's an instant. The training just steps in, and you just.
PG&E's motto is everyone and everything is always safe. This is a part of that, right? We are keeping you safe because you're PG&E's biggest asset. Without you, I don't care. You can have all the trucks, all the laptops, all the buildings.
On the ground, above
yeah,
ground,
exactly. But without you, none of that works.
Right.
Right? We're not there yet. AI is not there yet. Yeah. So we're the biggest asset. So we have to keep you safe in order to move forward with anything that we do.
We want them to understand the biggest thing for you coming to work is to go home.
Yes.
And this property can be replaced, but your life can't be replaced. So that's why this training is very, very imperative to let you know, keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is you go home to your family safe.
You can really tell a lot about a culture on how the people greet each other in the mornings. And being at the Oakport Service Center, you could tell these folks cared a great deal for each other. And it takes people like that, It takes people like Jeff and Brandon to pull things like this off. And also it takes 100% leadership buy-in. And that was clear at PG&E.
everybody wants to feel safe and feel supported going into work every day. And so, you know, what I was most proud of from the effort was, you know, these are tough issues, right? Like you said, they're out in every community. It was that, you know, the team threw a bunch of stuff against the wall and not all of it stuck, but right. But we worked through it together. You know, leadership was there with frontline coworkers talking about what might work, right? Obviously, we have a strong grassroots safety culture here at PG&E. People like Brandon, you know, a local leader like Jeff leaning in big time. But, you know, management didn't have all the ideas and we just, we sort of talked them through, and some of them were crazy and got nowhere. But you know, you put all that on there, right?
Grassroots here is a peer-to-peer organization solely dedicated towards safety and peers of looking out for each other. Kind of similar to what you guys do here at the podcast, just sharing best practices, lessons learned, mm-hmm. what's going on around the industry. You know, hey, be your brothers and sisters keeper, all that stuff, guys. So. You know, we want to ensure here at PG&E that everything and everyone is always safe. That's our motto. It goes beyond tools and equipment. It goes into the people, right? It goes into the customers. It goes into the employees that feed the customers, their energy. So it's just, that's kind of what we do. When I speak about an incident that happened to our damage prevention, very shortly thereafter, maybe a day or two, we had one of our COO come out and address the yard that was here in Oakland about the growing concern. He's an ex person from our yard here in Oakland and stuff. And so he came, he gave a message of, you know, this is what's happened. You know, we're not going to stop at no, we've got to find a result. Right. So we've done a million different things to do things. We've done, weird training, like Comro Gras. We've done all kinds of stuff, man. We're like, hey, we went to every asset. We're like, hey, we got to find something to really resonates and brings home safety.
Jeff Janvier was the first person to put a check in OPT's hand to get police support.
It's been drastic. I think it's been key. Yeah. I mean, like I said, these guys don't get this. They don't pilot this program or get off the ground without the backing of the higher ups. And they've been completely behind us with this and bringing awareness, you know, and we're thankful for that.
Jeff Janvier really just pioneered it. And you know, a lot of the breakthrough thinking originated from him cultivating it from everybody. Showing up here, being part of those after actions, being part of the crew, just to be able to take steps in a direction, and then Brandon being able to, the safety minded, and just it just pushes forward, and you need that combo to get that buy-in. You do need leadership buy-in. It's not easy. We're moving a mountain here. We're not just changing a small process. We're changing the whole way we do work.
Being able to fund it, being able to give us the time, because we have our day jobs too. And so this is something we put on top of it. But it's been super gratifying because we have had the support, like support that I've never seen before. And I've been with the company 17 years. And, you know, Brandon definitely does an excellent job being able to bridge the gap there. And then now I think the leadership is really seeing that there's a lot of value in this. So it's been phenomenal, actually. It's been really fun. It's really revitalized my career, I think, you know, just in the mindset of, you know, wanting to come to work every day. And I think the fact that we can give this to other folks and they're taking it, and you know, it's uplifting everyone at this point. So the support is definitely there.
The leadership is great. Like, I feel like the leadership kind of like I said, set you up for success. Like, I'm fortunate to have like some great leaders that kind of seen something in me early and they took me under their wing and just was like great mentors, coaching and everything.
Our leadership's been incredible, right? Right. And they've been very responsive. We have a lot of groups that kind of form, like grassroots safety, even HEAP, right? And that's from our employees actually speaking up and saying, hey, we need this going on. And I'm really proud that our leadership actually responds to it, right? Here at PG&E was the first company I ever came to where really they said, hey, speak up. And they really mean it, right? Yeah. You actually say something, You can send an email straight to our CEO, Patty Poppy, and she will respond. I've seen it, right? Joe Forline, our Senior Vice President of Gas, incredibly responsive when you reach out to him.
The buy-in is there. The support is there. Seeing the leaders actually out there going through the actual program, I mean, that's huge. You don't see that a lot. A lot of folks talk about it, but I know that this PG&E company, they're standing up to what they believe in. We all wear the same championship jersey, and they're here to support us.
So we sat down together in Seattle, Washington, at the American Gas Association just a couple days ago.
From the AGA to the East Bay, baby, here we go.
Here we are. We spoke this into existence, manifested, that we were talking about it this morning, to come out here and get to talk directly with your folks and hear about this program. It's one thing to hear from y'all.
Yep.
We're all partial. We're all biased to some degree, you know, with our own work. But at the same time, being able to come and talk to your people about this program has been amazing. And I don't mean just the highlights. I mean the honesty, the transparency, the people talking about real situations that they were in. You guys have told me by proxy. I just got culture by proxy, but hearing it right from them, nothing like it. So thanks for having us out here. Really.
Yeah.
Incredible.
No, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us in Oakland. I mean, like we talked about at the conference, this is the hub of where all of these ideas and everything that we've been doing to try and help our team in the field really started, right? And it was from the input of a lot of the people that you talked to this morning. It was their good ideas. Brandon and I are just in a position where we're just trying to help support their good ideas and try and help bring them to life. But they weren't our ideas, right? It was their ideas.
You said it was your. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, of course.
I said I'm not a genius, right? But I know smarter people that are around me, right? And so that's what I meant. You met him today, so.
Yeah, because it's easy for Brandon and I. The men and women that you talked to this morning, they're out there every single day in the field working in this environment, right? I am not, right? So it's hard for me to represent to the level of effectiveness that they can, what they're actually going through on a daily basis, because I don't live it. I just hear what they're going through and try and support them.
And these are the same folks that take care of our you know, systems, right? Our delivery of our gas and our electricity. These are the same folks that take care of our problems, that can fix their own problems when we inspire and listen and empower, sit down with them and empower them.
Give
right?
them the tools to
I mean, you've seen today the pride that's in this area, right? As many challenges as they're faced with here, just trying to deliver safely, you know, for our customers, you've seen the pride that they take. And that's the best part, right, is the pride. And so when we take care of the men and women that take care of our customers, they're going to take care of this company because they love it. So it's just amazing seeing this full circle. I was impressed. Everybody came in here and talked to you. You guys are kind of difficult.
I think we recorded more here than we did at AGA. Kept us busy all morning.
Yeah,
But I think it's a testament to the passion. I like that you mentioned the pride thing because you guys said that in your presentation at AGA. We have a pride for delivering natural gas to people. You know, a lot of people we talked to, we really leaned into that, and when we dug into it, they were born and raised here. Right. And so it means something even more to provide that. And they've got a job to do. And it's hard when pride gets in the way. You know, you said, right, don't defend the cone. But during the presentation, we heard that over and over today, that having to lay down that pride sometimes is the hardest part for these folks.
They're geared
to get
the work.
But they're learning it and they're training now. They're qualified.
They're geared to get the work done.
To be able to do that.
They run to the emergency. They run to our customers' problems, right? They run into danger and they put themselves in front of their own safety a lot of times. And we have to rethink that, right? We have to make sure they're first or they can't take care of anybody else. And so we're showing them it's safe to stop the job. It's safe to not start it until it is safe, right? And really empowering them to make good decisions, that it's not about the work, it's about their safety. And we put that on the front end, right? We don't have to load that up last. That's right in the front end. And it's starting to, and I'm sure you've seen it today, it's starting to take culture here. The culture is shifting, right? Yeah. And that pride is coming back. And I couldn't be prouder to be part of such an amazing kind of movement, I would call it, right?
You got pride.
Yes.
I like
yes,
it. Right, I like pride. It. Another thing that was very clear today, I'm thankful we got to come here and talk about, is really the commitment of leadership in this whole process, right? Sometimes we have to go through really tough things to get to the promised land, right? And it's unfortunate that we have to have a program to teach us these things, right? We'd love to work in a world where we didn't have that type of AOC, but without leadership buy-in, without having the right people to come in, we heard it in the tell board, come in and drive home those messages and help people understand. We're continuing to work on it. Sitting with y'all, your names were mentioned, others were mentioned. How important for y'all is leadership's buy-in to this whole thing been?
It's obviously very important, right? It's equally important as the ideas that are coming from the field and them being comfortable sharing with us. You know, they've made it very clear what's going on out there. And when we kicked this off 2 years ago, they made it very clear, very directly to myself and Brandon and other leaders, like they needed help big time. They still need help. But, you know, the leadership buy-in, it would have been very easy. You know, a lot of issues get raised, right? It would have been very easy to say, well, this is just another one of those things where it'll work itself out. Let's see.
We'll see what the numbers do.
Yeah. We've been working in Oakland for over 100 years, right? We're headquartered here. Yeah, we've been serving this community for well over 100 years now, right? So why now? Why is this such a big deal now, right? But I think the big difference was all of us as leaders paid attention to what our team was saying, right? Yeah. And we listen. And that's something just leadership-wise at PG&E that a lot of us have embraced is, hey, we're leaders, right? But what's most important is that we need to listen to the people. Our job and my job is to support them, not to tell them what to do, right? But to support their needs as a leader, right? That's what I'm good at and what I can contribute to them. So, and it's not just me, it's all of us, right? It took all of the leaders supporting this. And then from there, when we realize, hey, we really have a problem, right? We're all in on it. So.
What about you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I'm sitting here next to somebody that believed in me in leadership, you know, a man who was the water, I was the seed, right? And just really gave me a platform to be my very best. And that's what we're trying to do for each other, right? Each one of our coworkers, when we bring out their very best, they will keep rising to those occasions. And so leadership support, if you don't have it, you go nowhere. It's stymied. And if you do get it and you got people that believe in you, that's how this thing gets better. And that's how we serve our customers better, right? Because you got pride, you care about, you don't want to let somebody that believes in you down, right? So you're going to do your very best every single day. That's the way it happens.
How do you work with this guy? Like, do y'all get anything done?
Or I ask myself the same question every day.
In a good way.
Yeah, well, that's not what you're saying. I already heard all about it.
The laughs from the crowd.
Right.
No, I mean, really, though, the passion that comes out of both of you. And it was nice. I mentioned it to y'all when we were in Seattle. It was nice to see y'all present together. I think you both bring a special element to it. But then to follow it up with this trip, so thankful that we made this happen.
Yeah.
But to hear the stories directly from so many people saying, here's what happened, you know, and you can't beat that part because the magic is really in what happened, right? We're all trained in different ways and things still happen. Right. But in those moments when we come back, when you take a temp check, you calm down a minute and you can really talk about those things. That's what we saw over and over today. We brought it back. We went to work on it. We did it again. We did it again. And then to hear it kind of come into play today. Excellent work.
Awesome. Awesome.
Y'all have to be proud. Got to be proud of this staff.
Well,
proud of the work.
I couldn't be prouder of the men and women that, you know, are out taking care of our customers. You know, this is a true team that we have here. And I mean, I'm honored every day. I pinch myself, right? Like, you know, this industry coming here, my life, the way it is today, is a direct result of coming to work with these folks every single day.
Yep. Yeah, I wouldn't trade this team in Oakland for anybody, right? I mean, we're a company filled with professionals, but particularly here in Oakland, what they go through and how they perform every day in light of all these challenges that we've talked about, literally, I would not trade this team for anybody. And I mean that.
Well, I haven't been around them all day. And the way y'all treated our team, right? I mean, I did push-ups right in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, not very. Yeah, I mean,
we won't talk
about
that.
They looked okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've worked on them. That's good for them.
We're all works in progress, right?
Yeah. I'll pray about it.
Oh, wait.
Thanks for letting us wear the vest. Thanks for inviting us out. We know not everybody gets to do this, although maybe one day, right? I feel like this program's going to continue to grow. I hope we get to come out and experience ourselves. So that's a challenge. You can see if y'all make that happen. But but really keep doing the good work. This is a problem, an issue that's nationwide. You guys probably heard about it. As soon as y'all walked off the stage, so many people are impacted, and we appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Thank you, James. Yeah. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you, James.
You too.
I was going to say Jim.
And Jim too.
You did. You did an amazing job.
Jimmy, is some about, of your best
What
work.
About this amazing support staff you have back here? Because I'll tell you what, like, really, let's give it up to them. Because, I mean, there she is once again. But here she is. Carly, thank you for all the hard work.
No different than here. It takes a village to pull all this off.
No doubt.
Team, even in the small, I mean, in a podcast situation, thankfully, we didn't have to de-escalate anything today. But it takes all of us to do it.
And that's it. That's it. And we're all one team. So, you know, we take care of each other. I mean, it's just an amazing thing that could happen when, you know, the people are looking out for the people. Thank you.
Hey, we appreciate y'all's time today. Keep an eye on what PG&E are doing out here. It's pretty special.
Really appreciate it.